Good evening. Welcome to Shulchan Aruch Yomi for the seventh of Kislev. Shatim Mitzlachas. We are up to Simen Chaf Gimel, fifth Tes Zion. We're continuing talking about the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah, which, as many people who are participating see, is not as simple as certain people understand. And a lot of halachas people do not realize. Not just voluntary, it's not just a hefker veld. It's very important that people know all these halachas, especially a Rav, as we said yesterday. Sif Tes Zion. Mishu Dor Be'eretz Yisrael. Let's say someone lives in Eretz Yisrael. Shesham Yamtiv Rak Yemech. Where Yamim Tevim are only celebrated for one day. Milvad Rosh Hashanah, of course, except for Rosh Hashanah. Ubo L'chutz L'aretz. And he comes to Chutz L'aretz. He goes to America or any other country outside of Eretz Yisrael. B'hoya B'veis HaKnesses B'yem Sheni Shel Yamtiv. And he was in shul on the second day of Yom Tov. Ein likrois oyisay la'alas the Torah. He should not be called up for an aliyah. Right? We're talking about a yid from Eretz Yisrael who only holds one day, and now he's in America on the second day of Yom Tov. He cannot be called up for aliyah. Va'adin kemoish kasafti b'sif ha'koydim. And the law is as described in the previous sif, meaning the halacha about a person who is not fasting on a fasting. That's what we said. If a person is not fasting on a fasting, then he cannot be called up for an aliyah from the Torah. It's also clear from here, apparently clear from here, that a person who is from Chutz La'aretz, from Eretz Yisrael, and is in Chutz La'aretz, he has to keep Yom Tov. Certainly, he has to keep Yom Tov, but he cannot get an aliyah because it's not truly his day of Yom Tov. Those detailed halachas about a person who comes from Eretz Yisrael, go discuss it later. Sif Yud Zayin Suma. What about if a person's blind? Noyagin like Christ say the custom is to qualify a blind person for an aliyah. The alphabet to dvarm also like Christ and Balpe. Why would a blind person not be able to get an aliyah? Very simple. Because a blind person cannot read the Torah inside. And since he cannot read the Torah inside, then perhaps there's an issur. Not perhaps there's an issur. There's an issur to read Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, to do it by heart. So therefore, maybe a blind person should not get an aliyah. Nevertheless, however, nowadays, since the person getting the aliyah is not the one who reads from the Torah, rather it's the Baal Kareh, so muter, it is permitted for a blind person to get an aliyah because the Baal Kareh is the one who's going to be saying it inside. And the minig is also that a person does not check whether the oila is a Talmud Chacham or a totally unlearned person. The Mistamu, we can assume that the person who's getting the aliyah will be able to read along with the Baal Kareh. So again, as we said earlier, when you get an aliyah to the Torah, you have to say it along with the Baal Kareh. If that's the case, then perhaps if you aren't sure whether the person can read along with the Baal Kareh, perhaps don't give him an aliyah. So he said you don't have to check whether the person can read. In note 69, it says if he were unable to read, he would be unsuitable as an oila, since the oila is the one who is supposed to read the Torah portion. However, since the custom now is to hear the Torah from the reader, even one who cannot read on his own may be oila. That's what the note 69 says. It doesn't seem like that from the kitzur, but let's see. Simon Yud Ches. Im heru leho oila hamokim. So now a person goes up to get an aliyah, and they showed the person, and this was the question that I spoke to you about yesterday, that the person who really wanted to be a Rav had no idea what the halacha is. And I said that knowing halachas of Kriyas HaTorah is incredibly important for a Rav. So, if they showed the oila, the person getting the aliyah, the place from which he is supposed to be reading from, uberach, and then he made the Birchas HaTorah. And afterward, after he made the bracha, they noticed that actually they pointed out the wrong place. Rather, they have to go, they're leaning from a different place in the Torah. Regardless of whether they have already begun to read or whether they have not yet begun, if the place where they are required to read, if it was still open right in front of him, even if it was on a different column, further along than the place they showed him, meaning he opened up the Torah. The place where he was supposed to be looking at is in front of him. They showed him a different place. It was the wrong place, but the place where he was supposed to go was still in front of him. He does not require to make a new bracha because his mind His intention was for the bracha to be on alamakim sheberech, over the place from which he was reciting the bracha. Yal kol makim shenigla lefanav, and also over all the places that was open in front of him. Meaning that if a person is making a bracha, he's making a bracha on the words in the Torah he's going to be looking at. His bracha is not specifically on the place where they show him in the Torah. His bracha is in whatever place is in front of him. Therefore, even if they showed him the wrong spot, as long as it was still within his view when the Torah was opened up, then he is not required to make a new bracha. Avlim loy hoya amakim galu lefanav. However, if the correct place was not open before him, rather, they have to now roll the Torah to the correct place. So he made a bracha on a place that was not in front of him at all, or maybe the place was open before him. But rather, it was earlier in the Sefer Torah. And he has to make a new bracha. So again, if a person gets an aliyah, they point to a place in the Torah, and it's the wrong place. So if it's after the place they showed him, the real place is later on, but it's still within his view, he does not make a new bracha. If they have to roll to the new place, or it's earlier than the place that he looked at, so then he will have to make a new bracha. But he doesn't make a new baruchu. And like any time a person makes a bracha in error, he has to say baruch shem ala bracha rishon over the first blessing, because he recited that bracha in vain. Let's say he only said the words baruch ato Hashem, and then they realized that he's in the wrong spot, which would require a new bracha. He should conclude with the words lamdini chukecha, because the words baruch ato Hashem lamdini chukecha are is a pasuk in Tehillim. And if the place from which he was required to read was above the place where they showed him, but it was very, very close, in such a manner that they can read for him three verses beyond the place of which he recited the blessing, as it was all within the day's blessing, they should do so, they should not repeat the blessing. Let's look at this footnote so they can explain what we just said, the last part. Although they will begin to read with a portion that was not included in his blessing, since the reading will include the portion over which his blessing was recited, he is not required to recite a new blessing. So the Mishnah Berurah rules that as long as the correct place was open before him, even if he was shown a later place, he does not recite a second blessing, even if the portion he was shown will not be read. So over here, again, it's very, very rare that a person is shown the wrong place and that he would be required to make a new bracha. In the shul that I was in, the Rav, this person who wanted to be a Rav, he made them make a new bracha when it was right next to it. It was right next to it, right afterwards, and he made them make a new bracha, and it's a bracha levatala. Sif yutes. Let's move on from this halacha. Sarach kol ho'ila likrais. Every person who gets an aliyah is required to read l'chol ha'pochis shleisha psukim, at least three psukim. Okay? Less than three psukim is considered insignificant, and it's not considered a proper Torah reading. U'sheinu v'chamishi on Mondays and Thursdays, v'chein v'shabbos v'mincha, as well as during mincha on Shabbos, tzrichin likrais l'kulam, you have to read for all of the three aliyahs combined, l'chol ha'pochis asar psukim, it has to be a minimum of 10 psukim. So again, everybody has to get at least a minimum of three, but don't think it's 3, 3, 3 and it ends up being only 9 psukim. It has to be a minimum of 10 psukim, corresponding to the asaras hadibrais and the asar mamoris that Hashem used to create the world. The yesh likrais la'ashlishi. And to accomplish this, to make sure that everyone gets minimum of three and you have a total of 10, you should make sure that the third person getting the aliyah gets arba psukim, he gets four psukim. But if after the fact, they did not read for all the ilim together, let's say they didn't get 10 psukim, they just give everyone their minimum of three, and they end up only having 9 psukim laying in the Torah, Yatsu, they still fulfill their obligation. But Purim and on Purim, in fact, on Purim, the amount of psukim that are read are only 9. Then we show the salakinyana. That's because over there, the topic of the amalek, a topic that is laid by Purim, is completed there. So therefore, we finish after only 9 psukim. In note 77 here, Kitzer accounts for a discrepancy in the law. If the minimum Torah reading must contain 10 verses, how is that on Purim only 9 verses are read? He explains that as the topic read on Purim is completed 9 verses, there is no requirement to read more. So what we're learning over here is very important. First of all, it would appear that it's not required to follow the beginning and end of aliyahs that you find in a siddur. In a siddur, it's like a classic number that everyone in every shul seems to do. But as a basic halacha, really, it just needs to be 3, 3, four. The first person gets three, second person gets three, and the last person gets four. And certainly those Balei Kari who lane on Mondays and Thursdays and by Mincha on Shabbos would prefer that, because a lot of times Rishon or the Aliyah that's laned, for example, I think it's Parshas in Tzav or Vayelech, it's a very, very long laning for Monday and Thursday. And so that would be much more simple. But we'll learn more halachas as to why we have our aliyahs cut out the way they do. Sim sif chaf. Hakir b'Torah, someone who is reading from the Torah, lo yisayim, should not stop b'makim shelo yishoer misham, at a point from which there does not remain ad ha-parsha, until the end of the passage. I'll explain that in just a moment. Da'inu psucha yistuma, where it is an open or closed passage. Shelo yisha psukim l'chol ha-pachis. A minimum of three verses. Now, when we say there's a parsha in the Torah, we usually refer to the idea of parsha, parshas vayetze, parshas vayishlach. That's not what we're referring to here. In the Torah itself, if you look inside the Torah, you see that there are sections of the Torah. Sometimes the space after the section is very small. We call that a stuma. And sometimes it actually pushes to the next line in the Torah. We call that a psucha. But that is a section. So what we're saying over here is that you should not finish an aliyah without which it has to have a minimum of three verses in front of you. Note 79 explains that stopping at a point from which only two verses remain in the passage, meaning until the end of that section for the next oila, might mislead someone to thinking that one may read even less than three verses. Meaning what's going to happen is that if I finish my aliyah and there's only two psukim left to this section, this parsha, this section, so a person who might leave shul right now might think, oh, there's only two psukim left until the end of the parsha. They're probably only going to the end of that parsha. And I guess a person getting aliyah only needs to lean two psukim. And unfortunately, it'll cause a big issue halachically. So, v'im kvar berech, if the oila already recited the bracha, la'achar shasiyim, after having stopped b'pachas m'shleish psukim with less than three verses remaining, thamach l'parsha, near the close of the next passage, the one who gets the aliyah after, meaning if a person did not do this, what we said, instead, he left over only two psukim between him and the next section, the next parasha. So the next person who gets an aliyah is not required to begin a pasuk shlefano. He does not have to go back a pasuk now in order to make it three psukim until the end of the parasha. He's allowed to start from where the first person left off, which is two psukim left. And now he has to lay in another three psukim from another section of Parsha Shnia. But Parsha She'in Ba'ela Shnei Psukim, sometimes there are sections in the Torah that only have two verses. So over there, Mutar La'afzik Sham, it is permitted to stop when reaching there. Im Yesh Piska, if there's a passage break, Be'emtsa Pasuk, within a verse, Kigan B'tchilas Parshas Pinchas, as at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, Mutar L'Sayim, then it's permitted to stop, Afilu B'Pasuk HaSamach La, even the verse next to it. Sometimes in the Torah, you have a Pasuk that the Parsha splits in middle of the pasuk. We treat that apparently as a second section, and you're allowed to stop there. Sim chaf aleph. Obviously, a lot of these halachas need a person to look at a sefer Torah inside to gain a greater appreciation for these halachas about exactly what we're talking about, leaving over three psukim until the next passage. And additionally, being that nowadays our siddurim have the aliyahs already pre-set up, a lot of people don't think they need to know these halachas. You do need to know these halachas. Chaf aleph. V'chein, similarly, v'yaschel, a person should not begin to get an aliyah, not begin to read b'pachis mishleish psukim la'acher haschalas parsha, within less than three verses after the beginning of a passage. Meaning, if you have a passage, don't start an aliyah after two psukim once the beginning of a parsha started. Why? Because the same reason people will think the person got an aliyah before you only got a two pasuk aliyah, which is illegitimate. V'chein, therefore, zeh shelefonav, the oila who got an aliyah before him, lo yisayim, should not stop b'pachas mishleish psukim within three verses la'achar eschalas parsha, after the beginning of a passage. Meaning a person should not stop when in a new parsha if he has only lain two psukim in that new parsha, because people might assume that you can have a laning of only two psukim. Okay, sif chaf beis yechaven lahaskel tamid. The person who is getting an aliyah should always aim to begin b'davar toiv liYisrael, with a topic that has good connotations, meaning a good story for the Jewish people. L'asayim b'davar toiv liYisrael, you should always conclude with a good story or something that says good things about the Jews. V'chein, similarly, l'yisayim, you should not conclude b'misha osa ma'isera, while with reading about a person who has committed an evil deed. When you finish learning the Torah, it should always finish on a good note, on a positive note, on a high note. You know, it's a lot of questions come up when you find parshiyos in the Torah that seem to finish on something sad or something bad or someone died, something like that. And of course, the mefarshim there will always look for an explanation of why it is that we finish a parsha on something bad. And usually they'll propose that it's not really bad, and you have to understand what is really going on in that section. And with that, we conclude. Everyone should have bracha v'hatzlacha.